You're listening to Pirate Cat Radio, KPCR LP 92.9 FM Los Gatos, and KMRT LP 101.9 FM Santa Cruz.
Hi, I'm Gail Butensky, and you're listening to Drinks with Tony.
Get on the Drinks with Tony show.
You're listening to Drinks with Tony. I'm your host, Tony Duchesne. Today on the show, we have Gail Butensky. She's the author, co-author of Something Out There in the Distance, and actually not author, photographer, but isn't photography also sort of a great authorship of story? Hi, Gail. How are you?
Hello. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. What would your answer be to that question?
I think you can totally tell a story with a photograph. You can tell all kinds of stories. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the kind of pictures. I mean, I guess any kind of pictures tells the story, but the ones I take are, particularly the ones in this book, they're very road trippy, very out there places. Yeah. So it's definitely showing you something, you know.
When you see something and you go, oh, I need to capture that image, are you thinking of the story of the image, or do you just see the aesthetic and grab it and then find the story later?
If I'm just walking around or driving and I see something, it's usually just a visual cue, right? But again, road trip stuff, if you're on road trip, it's like documenting it all. So I'm trying to like keep track of it all in a way. It's like instead of writing a diary or a journal, it's just documenting visually. Yeah. So it has that aspect to it as well. But when I have that like stop in my tracks moment, it's almost always a visual cue that does that. Yeah. Yeah. You start seeing differently when you take a lot of pictures and you always have cameras or whatever, you just start seeing things in a different like it just works that your brain and eye contact works differently, I think.
I feel like I took a photography class online during COVID, and I've always had like a lot of anxiety that I've had to like work through. And after I took that photography class and I used my iPhone, because one of the things the photographer says is use something that you carry with you all the time, right? And if you're going to buy a camera, you got to carry that camera around. And I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to be a big time famous photographer, dude. So I got to use those concepts. I did it when I would start to have a panic attack or whatever. And I just like look up and look around, and then all of a sudden my brain switched to, you know what? What's beautiful right here? Or what's even ugly right here?
Oh, that's good.
And then I was looking for what went into frame, and I would only allow myself to take like one photo of it, not a lot. Like it was an expensive camera. I'm like, oh God, I got to get this right. So when I take a photo with the iPhone, I'm sitting there trying to get it right. And then I'm like trying to get the lighting right. And then all of a sudden I'm like, boom. And then I completely forgot that I was anxious a while ago.
That's a great little therapy trick. I like that. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Yeah, they always tell you like breathing exercises or take a walk or something like that. But that's good because you're concentrating on something else. Yeah.
I used to skate when I was younger, and there was. And I always liked, way younger, but I always liked the beauty of like skating was when it was just the ugliness of the city. But if you could see a wave or an angle off a curb, and the ugliness of a sad suburb, then all of a sudden you've turned. And that's why I love watching skaters to this day, because they're turning something that I feel is kind of ugly into something that's beautiful. Because they're seeing it, they're seeing I have a puzzle to solve because I have to grind on that wall, and then I sit there and watch the kids skateboard, and they're like, "Excuse me, sir, is it cool to skateboard here?" I'm like, "I used to skate. I'm not a security guard."
Oh dear! You need to go there with your skateboard, just even if you're not going to use it, just like
I can't go there with my skateboard because then I'll get on it and then all of a sudden I'll be in traction. I'm a little rusty down there, Gail.
yeah, yeah. Oh dear.
Yeah. I saw, I don't, were you in the New Yorker? Did they do a profile on you in the New Yorker?
That
Oh
and
my,
that there's that
go
there's
ahead.
that it's not in the magazine, it's the digital, but they do a I don't know how often they do it, every weekly, bi-weekly. It's called Photo Booth, where
Yeah,
they just
okay.
feature some photo story or person or project or
Yeah.
something. If someone has a book coming out, or I mean, I didn't have anything coming out. They were just like one of the editors there pitched it, and then it worked
Wait,
out.
wait, wait, wait. One of the New York editors pitched you.
Well, when you
Yeah, it
well,
kind of
one of
goes
the
the
photo,
opposite for us.
well, it was one of the photo. It was a photo editor who I had worked with on a one thing. They did run a picture of mine in the magazine. No, that was online also. Maybe it was in the mag. No, I think that was also on digital only. They ran a picture of mine for a memorial story they were writing. When Steve Albini died.
Oh,
Because he was an old friend of mine, so I have so many pictures of him. So
yeah.
they ran a picture of mine, so they knew me.
Yeah.
And then I think from there, maybe she saw my Instagram, because I just post a lot of old archive pictures all the time. So through that, then she was like, "Oh, this might make a good feature." So I know I was thrilled. It was great.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Oh, because your roots are Chicago, and that's Steve Albini, Chicago, right? Am I putting the puzzle together?
I went to school there. I know him from college. Yeah, so we
Interesting.
went to school there. Yeah, and that's when I started taking pictures.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
He's a
We did a
fascinating fella. He's still he's very intriguing, just what I know on the outside. I mean, I know you know him as a friend, so you know all the quirks, and you probably have things that what you hate about your friends as well, and you love about your friends.
We always got along really well, and I mean, it had been a long time because I haven't lived in Chicago in years, but I would see him when he would come play in town, this, that, and the other. But we weren't like close anymore, but we were close for a while. He stayed with me when I was living in New York. He'd come when his band went through, and that kind of thing.
Big Black,
So
or yeah, I never
and
saw them. I wish I saw them. It's
I saw them a bunch, yeah. And
oh man,
that was probably the first record my pictures were ever on. It was a Big Black record,
which
maybe.
one?
Don't know.
Right
Hammer
now,
Party, maybe? Yeah.
okay.
Maybe. There's a couple
Yeah.
of them, actually, because there's another record they did where they ran this big poster. I took pictures of all of them, just snapshots, really, and
Yeah.
made it into this po huge poster that came with the record. Honestly, I don't remember. I don't have it somewhere to,
Yeah.
around, but And anyway, so we went to college together, and I started taking pictures with on the college paper, I guess, is when I first started. And then a mutual friend started a fanzine. So I used to shoot bands all the time for this fanzine. So that's how
Oh,
I got into
fun.
it. Yeah.
Now when you're that age and you're shooting for fanzines, which I mean, zines meant, as I loved the zine culture at the time. That was just I created my own zines. I had the staples,
Someone.
and I worked at temp jobs. So I'd be like, oh, that's a fine young fella. He wants to work overtime. And I'm just like sitting there going, no, I'm using your Xerox. It's
I worked
like,
at a Kinko's Copies in
oh
college,
my God.
and when the bands would come in and make posters, I'd be like, "Well, that's 10 copies," and they're like got a stack like this, huge stack, and I was always trying to get because I didn't care.
Having a friend working at Kinko's or any print shop, you were like a god. You were you were you you probably
It
helped
was fine.
yeah you're or you're up the, not a god, but maybe like a saint. Like we should saint you for what you've done for culture. I mean, it's what got us here, Saint Gale.
It was a slick fan. It was called Matter Magazine. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It was pretty slick, so it was like a nice little thing. So it got me into shows. It got me like to learn how to do that. So that was kind of fun.
And that's the thing, getting into shows.
Oh yeah, that
I
was a
learned
big
how to
deal.
do that too. And it's just like all of a sudden I'm out 4 nights a week, and then the bartenders get to know you and they know your drink, and then it becomes a huge problem. And then before you know it, you're like, maybe I should, this is me, maybe I should leave San Francisco, because every time I walk out my door, someone's handing me a Jameson and someone's going, hey, you want to come to my
Oh, there you
show?
go. Uh-oh. So what, when were you in San Francisco? You were there before earlier?
I grew up in Millbrae, which is a
Oh,
sad little suburb of San Francisco, and then
okay, yeah. No, I lived there for like 12 years. I lived in San Francisco.
oh, where were you?
Mostly the Mission,
Yeah,
some of the
same here.
Sunset, and then Brisbane.
Oh my
Do you
God,
know?
yeah.
Do you know? Did you live in the Mission?
I lived in the
In
Mission for some time, yeah, in the mostly
okay.
in the 2000s, 'cause I
Oh, okay.
but
Yeah,
I
I
did I
left by
also
then.
was around San Francisco my whole life. So I was always in San
Oh,
Francisco.
okay. Yeah, I was there in the 90s mainly. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you were there at
Like what?
the peak of like I used
Yeah.
to say, especially in the Mission
But it
District,
was
it's just
fun.
like, yeah, if you throw a rock at someone and you hit them, they're probably a writer. It's just like that's what you
Or a musician or an artist. It
Yes,
was like whatever.
yeah. Like who you were going to ask me if I knew someone who do you
No,
think
no,
I'm
no,
thinking?
no. I was going to ask you if you were in that area, and oh, I was going to ask you if you knew the Radio Valencia was a cafe
Yeah.
there. Oh yeah, that's where I worked forever.
You worked at the restaurant?
The restaurant, yeah.
Yeah, because now
For
there's a
years,
Radio
yeah.
Valencia that's the radio station that started in
Oh
2010.
where, and is that based in, that's in San Francisco?
Yeah. This used to air on Radio Valencia for a while
Oh,
too.
okay. Is it on
Yeah.
Valencia Street, I would assume? Yeah.
No, our first
Oh,
studio was on Cesar Chavez and Mission.
okay.
And then I don't know. We moved right on. I think we were on 20th and Mission after that. There
So
was a
why is it called Radio Valencia?
I don't know, and it was because I didn't know if it was connected to the restaurant or not.
No, it's
And I
not. Yeah,
was
it's funny.
and but I guess my confusion didn't overwhelm me because I never asked.
Right.
Even
And
though, yeah.
the restaurant was very music oriented as well. There was live music there,
Yeah.
and everybody who worked there was very, all music, musician, it's a lot of music people, so that's
You were
funny.
in the heart of the amazingness of because what now that you know that was close to like the old Chameleon, and you were like right by
Yeah.
all
Oh yeah.
those.
Oh my God,
Yeah.
Chameleon. I used to go there all the time.
We probably were
All the
at some
time.
of the same shows because
Yeah,
I
maybe.
was
Yeah.
fluttering around all those
Okay.
haunts. And
Yeah.
probably going, oh, who's the very confident photographer there? Man, I wish I didn't feel so awkward here, but this is.
Yeah, I took a lot of pictures there. That's true.
Wow. Have you that? I would love to see like your San Francisco years photos. That could be a book
Oh
too.
yeah, I've done stuff. I had actually a bunch of snapshots I took at the Chameleon were in a group show in San Francisco last year
Oh, cool.
at a weekend long gallery show. That was kind of fun. I was like, let's just do the Chameleon pictures, because I used to walk around.
Yeah.
I had a point and shoot that I would just take with me everywhere. I got tired of carrying. Back in New York, I would carry bags of cameras, and it was just like, oh my God, my back. It was just like too much with so
Yeah.
many cameras. And then I got this really good quality point and shoot. So I used to just walk around with that little thing. Like I
Yeah.
walk around with my phone now. It's the same, it was film,
Right.
but it was still a point and shoot. But I took just pictures of the bands and the people and the, just friends all the
Yeah.
time.
Wow. Oh, that's funny. Oh, you probably know all the cool people that might be you slightly aware of me. And I'm like, oh
I
yeah, you.
bet there's probably a crossover somewhere,
Yeah.
right? That we
Yeah.
know
Oh, totally.
somebody. Yeah,
That's
yeah.
the beauty of especially San Francisco, because like San Francisco, if you're into music or writing, it's like you know someone who knows someone like
Yeah, yeah,
forever till the
yeah,
end of
yeah,
time.
yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's not a big town.
No.
So, everybody, you just go out and you would just know whoever was there, kind of situation.
Yeah, that's the thing about Los Angeles that I have a hard time with, because like I would used to walk out my door and within like a block or two I would always hear a "Yo, Tony," and it would be and it's just like that when I came to LA that was gone, and but it would be like random "Yo, Tonys" from people who lived in the Tenderloin but what happened to be in the Mission, or when I moved to the Tenderloin, and then it would just be like, oh my God, dude, our band's playing over at Chemo's, come on up. And I would be like, oh, I was gonna go to the Knockout, but okay, I'll go to Chemo's with you guys. And it's just that was like my constant life up there.
Yeah. It was much easier living there then.
Well, yeah,
That it was
wasn't
just
it?
it was I mean, it was very quaint,
Yeah.
right? It was but it was,
It was great.
but
I used to work
yeah.
the door at the Hemlock. I mean,
Oh, the
the way
Hemlock,
it.
the Don Linnaeus, my like that's who run the Radio Valencia, same owners.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're my very, very dear friends.
Oh, cool. I when that I when I went up there, and I went there when they bulldozed that Hemlock building. I just happened to be up there, and I was walking up that block, and I'm just like, San Francisco's gone. That's like, it's just
I
they
know.
wiped out the whole block. It's like residential condos. Join us in this mall of San Francisco that we've created.
Last time I was there was, I mean, we go back fairly often, but because we still have friends there and it's just an easy, getaway kind of thing. And I have
Yeah.
family up there. So I think it was in the summer, it was the last time I was there, just walking around. It just changes so much every time I go up there.
Yeah. It's and also, like, even my friends drove me nuts, especially toward the end of my career of life in San Francisco, but where everyone would be complaining all the time, and I'm like, yeah, I get it, but I've like grown up. Like, I remember going to my great grandparents' house in the 1980s in Noe Valley, and they would just be drunk and going, "These yuppies coming in, taking over our just." It's just like, I've heard it my whole life. The San Francisco culture is complain about what's changing, but San Francisco is also a gold rush city. It's been changing since the
Yeah, that's true.
1849, and it's just like, San Francisco's insane energy, but that's kind of the coolness about it. But we got to deal with the bad stuff too, you know?
Well, everything's changing now. LA's like that too. Like when we moved to
Yeah.
LA, I mean, that's changed, just what it does. So
Yeah. When it
everything's
changes and I
on.
feel like the creative juices are getting squeezed out, that's when it hurts my soul. That's when I'm just going,
Well,
ah.
because you can't, those people can't afford. And if you can't afford to live in a place, then it loses its all the creative people.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a problem.
Did you grow up in New York? Okay.
I was on Long Island. I was born in Queens,
Okay.
and then I was on Long Island and for high for like high school years.
Yeah. And would you go into the city a lot?
Oh yeah, all the time.
And were you were taking photos there too?
Not yet. No, not till I went to college. I didn't start taking
Okay.
photos. But then I lived, but then I after Chicago, I moved back to New York. So then I was taking a lot of photos. And
Yeah.
I lived all over. Lived in
Yeah.
Williamsburg before it became what it is. Like I lived on the south side of Williamsburg where it was like just empty lots and a
Yeah.
big mess. It was really a mess.
Yeah.
But I had
Don't you
a
wish you bought a
yeah.
parking lot
Well, it
then?
was funny. The person I was roommates with, she was a co-owner of the building, and she was like, "Do what you want with your side of it." So we put a dark room in, which was great. So I had my own
Yeah.
dark room, and but yeah, they were smart. They had bought that building, but that whole neighborhood was really weird back then. And I lived for a while on Water Street, all the way downtown, like near the Staten Island Ferry, which
Wow.
now people live there, I guess. But back
Yeah.
then, nobody lived there. People did not live there. Like I had
Yeah.
to taxi my laundry somewhere. Like you couldn't, like there was just nothing there. And it would be crazy during the work day because it was all Wall Street. Like
Right.
the building, we were in an old, smaller building, but across the street was such a huge building that it had its own zip code just with
Okay,
Wall
yeah.
Street workers,
Yeah.
and then on weekends it was just deserted. There was nobody there. So
Wow.
yeah,
Was
so
and
I,
was the rent cheap because of that?
well, I mean, relatively. It was like
Yeah.
a loft. Someone again. I've met somebody who was building a whole space out, like a
Yeah.
empty like loft space. So I mean, I think I was paying like 600, which back then was a
In
lot to
Manhattan,
me.
that's
But
crazy. You could do better than
now it's
that.
like not. Well, but now that would be like insane. Yeah, you wouldn't
You
get
can't
a
even get
closet
you.
for that much. Yeah, you
No, you
wouldn't.
can't get a closet. I was just gonna say, like, you can't even get a 3x3 dark room and until you
Because
get out to.
it was a long time ago, but it was nice. And I worked all the places I worked were downtown too. I was working for a restaurant for a while, like just south of Canal Street. So I was really far down there anyway. I never
Yeah.
went up north, so it was fine. It
Isn't
was
it fun?
fun.
Isn't it a trip how we really stay in our neighborhoods, even though we are in big cities? Like when I go to New York, I usually, I need to stay in the cheaper areas, and then it's just like, oh no, you come to me with I don't I live in they're like just like I live in the East Village, and I don't leave the East Village. If you wanna hang out.
So when I'm visiting, I like to chat, walk around. When we go to New York, it's been a long time since I've been back, but we just walk and walk and walk and walk and walk. But when I'm here, because I do, my work takes me all over the place, but I like when I meet someone that I'm going to work with, I don't go to the West Side unless it's like a one-off. I just try to keep everything as close to home as possible.
And
It's
that's
too
one of the
much.
things I despise about Los Angeles is the aesthetic of just driving and not having like it's like if I was in New York and I lived in the Bronx and I had to get to Canal Street, yeah, I could do it probably on the 6 train or whatever. And it doesn't feel like such a drudgery of getting in the sad car to get on the sad freeway to sit in traffic with sad people to get to the sad place.
I like driving, but I don't like sitting in traffic, so that's
Yeah, I
the
don't like driving at all. I'd rather
Yeah, I
just
don't
not
mind
have a
that.
car. Yeah.
Oh, that's fun. I've heard people do that. I know people like get around without cars.
Yeah,
It
but
happens.
also I re there's a difference, like, because in San Francisco, especially back then, like everyone jumped on Muni. We all it got you around. There's no reason to have a car. When I get on public transit in Los Angeles, one out of two times, I'm sitting next to the guy who's screaming at everybody, and it's just like there's a different. There's not a mix of who's on transit down here, where in those big cities. The whole lovely soup bowl of culture is coming into the subway or to,
That's true. That's a good point. Because the transit here, they just maybe one day it'll turn into that, but there's too many cars and the transit's better, but I
I
don't know.
don't,
Might be a while. Might be a long while.
you got me on a day where I don't have a lot of hope about anything, and I don't have hope in that either. I that so the, I think I know about the New Yorker because they used a photo of that you took of Nick Cave during the birthday party gig, and I'm like, you got to see the birthday party
Oh,
tour
that was
United
amazing.
States?
That was one of the first rolls of film I ever shot, like one of the first live bands I ever shot. I'd shot a couple little things before then, but yeah, I was just starting to do that, so it was pretty great.
And
It
that,
was a small club, it wasn't a big
yeah.
thing. It was just a small club. Yeah, that was pretty great. Saw him a couple times. Well, then I saw the birthday party once, and then I saw him maybe like a year later when they were just starting. What's the next one called?
Bad
The other,
Seeds.
yes, Best Seats, yes. So yeah,
And they were still
pretty good.
they were coming over from West Berlin at the probably in those
Yeah, I don't.
days.
I'm trying. Trying to remember because I was in on an interview with him, someone, because he was going to be in that magazine. So somebody I was with, can't remember who did the interview, but I remember being in on the interview, like just taking pictures while he was interviewing. And I think he that's where I don't remember. It was so long ago. It's like 40 years ago. It's a long time. My memory's a little sketchy. It's very sketchy actually. But I remember better when I have a picture of something,
Oh,
because that.
interesting.
That because that that then I'll remember. Oh yeah, I was there. I might not remember the details, but I'll know that I was there, which is something, I guess.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's because I do the same thing with photos and journaling, because I journal every, I mean, journal. I write every day. I just happen to always have pad on me, and but I could look over, like I was even looking over my year. I have about five different journals or that I've used over this last year, and I'm like, hey, where have I been emotionally, and I was just like, oh wow, that was a rough, I didn't realize March was a very rough month. I look on it with like joy, but I forgot there was a couple really like rough zingers, at the in that time.
Yeah. I have a little diary. I mean, I don't really write, but I just have like, well, I have date books partly for my work, but I like to have it all written in a book as opposed to just on a computer. So I do have things I can look back on. Although my handwriting is so atrocious, half the time I look back at it and I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea what I'm, what I don't know. I can't read this.
So with your work here, are you still a photography?
No, I'm a landscaper. I do
Oh, that's
gardening.
right. We were talking about that before we were recording.
So I mean, I still do. All right, so I do. So I started scanning all my archives because I have like shell. I have so many pictures, and I have a lot of prints because I also, besides working in restaurants, I worked in photo labs, like commercial.
Oh,
So I had
cool.
darkroom access for years. So I printed and printed and printed a ton of pictures in the dark rooms, and now I have them all. But I stopped shooting film when I stopped working. I mean, I stopped working in labs because digital came up and nobody was printing anymore. And then I kind of stopped doing film because honestly, it's just so expensive now. I can't even. Plus, I have my way of printing, so it's like, I mean, I haven't printed in years, but if I could get into a dark room, I would want to do it my way. You know, I don't want to just give my negatives to somebody else to print for me. It just feels kind of weird because I did it myself for so long. So I just, that's why I just use my phone now. But so anyways, I had all these archives, all these prints I started scanning. Then I got a slightly better scanner. I'm scanning some negs now, but I mean, my setup is very raw. It's very rudimentary. It's not fancy at all, but I'm just trying to get it out there a little more. So the Instagram, I kind of hate Instagram, but it also helps because people see it. And I'm getting some, I do some photo work because the 90s are very hot right now. You know, all that stuff comes back, right? So, oh, we're going to reissue this. Okay. Oh, we're going to do this documentary. Oh, we're going to, you know, so things like that come up.
Yeah,
Yeah.
ho hopefully the bad parts come up too, right? They're like, did you ever go see Limp Bizkit? I hear they were great. And you're just going, no, kid, no. Someone approached me and they're like, I really want to do a biopic of Courtney Love. And I'm like, oh, no, you don't. No. There was a lot of other
Hasn't that been
like
done? Seems like that's been done. I don't know,
Right,
maybe.
that not only that, there are like so many like Riot Girl
Right.
bands to tap into
Oh,
from
sure.
those days. Why would you choose her? You know, it's like there's too much baggage on her. There's a lot more fun if
I mean, I have a lot of stuff from back then, but a lot of the stuff I shot were just friends. Like nobody knows who some of these bands are, or they have like cult followings, like not big followings, but smaller, but really, you know, thorough followers. But so that kind of stuff. So, you know,
It's funny
it's
about
just there.
the, I mean, just how we experienced live shows in those days. Because I stopped going to live shows, and I mean, I'll still go see like the Melvins or Sun or if Nick Cave's doing a smaller show, I'll see him at this. You know, I'm not gonna go see him at Arena Nick Cave, even though God bless his soul, good for him for getting arenas. Sometimes you work
Yeah, I've heard
through
those are
and
great shows. I've never seen any of those because I don't really go to big shows either, but I've heard they're great. I don't know.
I don't want to watch shows through an iPhone, and it's through everybody's iPhone. And that's actually the reason I don't go as much anymore, because
Oh, yeah.
my going to shows started to fall when everyone really started raising, and it and they used to like even Nick Cave broke someone's iPhone in the early days, because it was just like, don't do that. And then now it's just like it's so normalized that nobody can experience a show anymore. You have to have this terrible glow.
I feel like I've been to certain shows where it's like, oh wow, there's not really people taking t like that's not doesn't or people I when like I mean I do it, but I try to do it very subtly. Like I just kind of pick it up a little bit and take a shot and I put it back. I'm not standing there. The people who stand in the front and just videotape the whole thing, that I don't even understand. That's just bizarre. But you know, whatever. That's what they do. And then
Well,
they
the Lodge
post, I don't know, I
Room,
guess they
I've
post it
been
or
to good
something.
show. Yeah, the Lodge Room's got good shows, and I saw Swans there, and like one
Oh,
girl
okay,
put up
cool.
her camera and he went like this, and it's just like Michael Jarrah like shamed her, and she put it back down.
No, that's all right. You know, because I think people just don't, everybody's in their own little bubble and people don't realize how distracting it is to everybody else around you because it's so bright, right? So, you know, back in the day when I had a camera, there was no screen. So I would have to get in the front and push way up front with cameras, but It wasn't, I mean, that part it might have been distracting people because I had to always be in front, but once I'm there, like I'm not, it's not that,
Yeah. And
wasn't that
it's only
distracting.
one or two photographers at shows, and you're just like, now we can look back and go, oh my God, somebody actually photographed that show where there's no other record of it except in my head. And those are some of the, like, some legendary shows that no one even thought about bringing a
Yeah,
camera
people have,
to.
there's like things come out like movies and videos of shows. I'm like, I don't remember those people all doing movies and videos, but they're there. So someone was there
Yeah.
with like, cameras and yeah, it's great. It's good to have it now, I guess.
I used to tape trade VHS on
Oh,
Maximum Rock and Roll. They used to have in the
wow.
classified sections. So there was this one, like when the Boredoms first came to America, and I think they were opening for the Pain Teens. I was like in the very front of that show, and I was just, and it's just like I was like, oh my God, there's my head when I got the someone was in the
Oh,
corner like shooting it, and I'm like, oh my God, there's me jumping up and down.
There's a couple shows I've been where I've seen someone takes a pic, posts a picture of that show, and I'm like, oh my God, I was standing right next to that guy. Like I could tell
Yeah.
from my angle of my picture, it's like, oh, we were at the same show. Didn't
Oh,
know you
that's
then.
funny.
So it's like
Oh.
the same exact, you just know it's the same. If it's a small club, like there's not many places you can
Yeah.
be. So yeah.
So here's an idea. This would be a fun idea. If you found all the photos where the photographer was right next to you, and you did a book together. So I'm just throwing this out there where it's just like where you co-authored a book and your photos, and we got to see the difference of your photos, which would be very small, but your narrative of the memory would be very different.
Yeah, maybe that's true. That's funny.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's
yeah.
a couple of circumstances I can think of that when that happened. So that's kind of funny.
So what I just did right there is something that writers hate, and I hate too as a writer, is I have an idea for a story. You
That's
can
how it
write
works,
this.
right? Though,
And then I'm just like going, no, there's like 1,000 ideas in my head. I'm trying to sift through to get to the one that actually might be a thing. And I know your idea is terrible anyway. So don't even like say it. Don't say it out loud. Don't say it. Keep let
No,
it
you have to say it
fester.
out loud. I think it's better to say it out loud. Then you get it out and it might be great, might be perfect. Who knows?
But not for me to do, for the person to do. There's people that are like, oh, let me give you this. You can have this. And I'm like, no. If you think that's a good story, I'll do some coaching for you and help you to write it. But I'm not going near it as an author because
Oh, you mean it's not another writer coming up, it's just some random person coming up with that
yes,
idea.
it's
Oh, that's funny.
yeah, no,
Yeah,
because
you should write it.
they think writing's easy. They just don't have time to do it, And I'm like.
Well, they should just tell them to write it themselves, right? That's a that's
Exactly.
that's
Well, I don't have time. It's just like, no, you haven't developed the, as they say in the photography world, you haven't developed the eye. Which is fun. So it sounds creative and juicy. You were there lugging your cameras in the days when it was hard, like punk shows. Was not easy to get to the front in general when you got equipment on you.
Well, that might have helped because you can kind of elbow if you have big stuff in your
Oh,
hands.
right.
Also, I'm not very like, I mean, I was kind of small. I'm not like a big guy who's like pushing up front. I'm pretty short. So
Yeah.
I wasn't like blocking everybody's view if I tried to get up front. I was always very polite about it too. So I was like,
Yeah.
excuse me, excuse me. And
Excuse me,
they,
excuse me.
back then, if I was the only person with a camera, people would let you, oh yeah, go,
Yeah.
it
Yeah.
seemed like an important thing to do, I guess, to some people or something. I mean, I don't remember ever really getting like scolded or yelled at because of it, really. I mean, a couple people might have gone, oh, there she goes, but whatever, but I don't, not really.
And you know what happened to those people? They became jerks, like even worse jerks. They're the old people talking loud on their cell phones at the cafe right now when speakerphone. They never got better.
I was always aware of having to push to the front, so I was trying to be calm and nice about
What do you call it? Whenever I saw someone with camera gear, I just assumed they were with the band or with the club. It's it, there that that was that was what I then so I just be like, yeah, okay, do you need help getting through?
There's a lot of that. And a lot of times I was with them, but not always. That's yeah.
Did you in San Francisco, did you ever go to the Eagle to see punk shows? Because they used to have, because it was a gay bear bar like all
Right.
the time, except on Thursday nights they had punk rock night, and that was just one of my
Oh.
favorite venues, partly because I don't.
What year would that have been? It might have been after.
Yeah, it
I
might
don't
have been
know. I
late
don't remember going.
'90s, early 2000s when I,
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't remember going there. I don't. I know where. I know exactly where you're talking about. I don't think I ever been
Yeah.
there though. Yeah, I
Yeah.
just sort of remember the Chameleon, the CW, the Sixth Street Rendezvous,
Yeah.
the Kennel Club,
Oh,
the
was it the
I-Beam.
Kennel was great.
Yeah,
That's where
all
I
those
saw the
places.
Boredoms. That was the show
Okay.
I was thinking of.
I think I saw them there too, actually. I don't know when that was.
Yeah, I
I
think.
don't remember which show it was, but I saw them. I took pictures of them there.
Wow.
I think it was there. I'm pretty sure it was at the Kennel
Yeah.
to check my records.
Because I was DJing at KFJC in the time, the college radio in
Okay.
in Los Altos Hills, and we
Yeah.
Boredoms were on heavy rotation in
Sure.
19 in like 1990 or whatever. And when we finally got them to come to the United States, there was this other band from Austin, the Pain Teens, who I loved and adored. But bo the Boredoms opened for the Pain Teens at the Kennel Club, and it was a really bad idea because there was a whole starving universe who couldn't wait for the Boredoms to get to San Francisco. And the minute the Boredoms played, it cleared out, and then the Pain Teens
Sure.
played to an empty room.
Oh.
And I just felt so bad for them because they're, and I remember they're just like going, "Where did everybody go?" And they were on tour
Yeah.
together, so I'm sure they just finally figured it out. And then after that, the Boredoms were like, they were the headliners if they ever played San
Oh, switch
Francisco.
it up. That's
They,
funny,
people
huh?
didn't realize how much urgency we wanted to see noise bands
Right.
from
Oh.
Japan. That was just so
Right,
foreign. I went and got my album like autographed by all of them, and they didn't even speak English. I'd be like, "Hi," and they'd be like, "Hi," I'd be like, and they'd be like, "Oh, hi, hi, hi,
That's good.
Yeah. Oh, the good
Yeah.
old days. Go,
Yeah,
you had a thought.
absolutely.
You I just sparked something. What were you gonna say?
No, I was just gonna say, I'm trying to remember when it was that I saw them, because I'm pretty sure it was the Kennel also, but I can't remember when it was.
Yeah, like
Yeah, but yeah.
the pain, what's
They
that?
were pretty big when I think they were pretty big when I saw them. I don't remember them opening for anybody. So it might have been another tour after that one or something. I don't
I
remember.
went to that one too, because I
Yeah.
remember
Okay.
then they were a lot less timid, and
Yeah.
Yamasuka Ai came out and he goes, there was like a no stage diving rule at
Oh.
Kennel, and he goes, "Hi, no stage dive." And the band went into it, and he dove into the crowd.
That's good. That's
I just,
funny.
I was just, that was one of the big, you go to so many shows, but there's a few that stick in, and I was just so like, people get shocked by other being able to meet other performers, and I got to shake Yamasuku Ai's hand, the guy who was also on Naked City with
Right,
John
right.
Zorn, and I'm just
I
going,
remember
"Oh, the name John Zorn, huh?" Because you were
that,
in New York for that.
I don't. Oh, I did see something. No, you know what? I didn't see him in New York then. I saw him, I think, like when I would go back and visit. But he did a small little show once at Radio Valencia.
Wow.
So that was like, because it was like a whole, it's a, there was a whole private, was it private? I think it was a private thing. I can't even remember the
Yeah.
details, but yeah, because yeah, the people who owned the cafe, like, had, it was, that's a long story. I don't remember the details, but yeah, so that was pretty great. Yeah.
And then there's also the Elbow Room, which is right down the street, which
Oh,
they did a lot more jazz in those days.
I forgot about the Elbow Room. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was another place on 16th. There's a lot of places, and living there, you could just walk to them. It was just so easy.
Oh, it was so sexy, that whole area. Now it's,
So yeah. Yeah.
you go, and I never had money for like beer, so I remember being at the Kennel Club. We didn't have money. We didn't have enough money to pay for beer at the bar price, which was like $3. So
Right.
there was a liquor store across the street. So right when the
Sure.
band ended, there would be a whole crowd of us going to the liquor store and then drinking as fast as possible, drinking a couple beers as fast as possible before we went back inside. And it was
That's
just,
funny.
I don't know. Were you there when the Purple Onion was in the
Oh
North Street?
the Purple
Yeah.
Onion. Tom Guido.
Tom
Yes,
Guido.
yes,
That was a
yes,
that
yes.
that's something that
That
that's something that every true
was
San
great.
Franciscan knows is Tom
Yeah.
Guido. Do you remember any shows from the Purple Onion days?
Oh wow. No, I specifically
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know who I saw. I do know I saw a few things there, but I can't remember.
Yeah, but one sticks
Yeah.
out for me is Teen
Yeah.
Generate, and that was another
Okay.
Japanese band that I was just like. But those, so he charged $5 for the Foster's Lager oil cans,
Oh,
but I
okay.
didn't have money. But across the street,
Yeah,
you
yeah.
can get the Foster's oil can for $2. So I would put them
Oh.
both in like my, I would wear like a coat or something, so I'd have two in my pocket. So when I cracked one open in there, it would just look like I ordered it at the bar. But it,
Oh,
so
there
instead of $10 for
you Yeah.
two 25-ounce beers, it was $4, and this is how tight my money was in those
Sure,
days.
no, I remember those days. Yep.
Yeah, and then a slice of pizza, the
Yeah.
cheapest pizza to wash it down a little bit with.
Right. Or burritos used to be very cheap.
Right. Oh
Now
yeah.
they're much more, but they used to be very cheap. Yeah.
And
We
that's the population difference, because it used to be us
Yeah.
scummy people getting the Mexican food, and now it's now it was you know oh la la, what is the best burrito? It's the $17 little one at the
Yeah. Well, I mean, everything's, yeah.
did
Everything's more
you
expensive, but yeah.
yeah was
Anyway.
Cafe La Boheme around on the 24th Street at the
Yes.
Oh,
Yes.
that's one of my favorite cafes
Yes.
of all time.
Yes. I lived on 24th Street also for a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah, for like a year. I moved around a lot.
What was
Yeah.
the cross street? Do you remember?
I was right across the street from the BART station.
Oh, okay. So you were right
Yeah.
by La
Yeah.
Boheme
There was
and.
a little a Salvadorian restaurant, like hole in the wall place right there, kind of
Yeah.
downstairs, maybe just next door. I used to go eat there all the time. They like knew me. They
Yeah.
were like, "Oh, which of your usuals do you want today?" kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, go in there with a book or something. Yeah. That was great. I don't think
Yeah,
they're
the
not there
book
anymore, but yeah.
days. The
Right.
days when
Yeah.
you would go to cafes and restaurants, or you'd be on
Yeah.
BART or Muni and you'd have a
Mm.
book. Everyone had
Mm-hmm.
books. If you didn't have a book, you were crazy.
Right. There are good bookstores there too then, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what's still left, but yeah, there were a bunch. There's some bookstores there, actually. There are some good ones
Yeah,
still. Yeah,
Dog-Eared,
yeah,
I think, is
yeah,
still
yes, yeah,
there. And
yeah.
then
And Adobe's still there.
Adobe, yeah.
Yeah,
Adobe's
yeah, yeah,
great.
yeah,
Adobe's
yeah.
always got a deep collection.
So yeah, still good. It's still happening. Those little parts are still there,
Yeah.
but it's
But
yeah.
it's nothing like the on every single block there was something, and every
Yeah.
and you walk down the
Yeah.
street and you
Yeah.
knew everybody, and it was
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just a lot of, almost, I mean, I knew so many people then, and so many of them moved either to LA or back east or to Portland. So, because you just couldn't afford it. Like, that's one of the reasons we left. You just couldn't afford it there anymore.
It's
So,
what I left
yeah.
because not only could I not afford it, but there used to be like Film Arts Foundation, Bay Area Video Coalition, and I was like all up in that mix, and
Okay,
there was
sure.
all these little like great artistic things going on that were just it was just gone. Cable
Yeah.
access television, I used to like try to
Right.
get volunteer there and do stuff because there was just a fire. Gone. Everything just
Yeah.
when all of it's gone and there's no one else to play with on the playground, you kind of go find another playground.
Yeah, when we moved here, it was affordable. We got
Yeah.
here like, yeah, when it, you could still do that. So, but anyway, it's different, but it's okay. Also,
It's
the weather, it's warmer here. It's so cold up there all
I still
the
love I
time.
love San Francisco weather. I just there's
Yeah,
just
I know.
something about like when it gets too hot in
Yeah.
LA, I'm losing my mind. And one of these
Yeah,
days, I'm like,
yeah.
I just need to spend summer in San Francisco. Just like
Yeah.
June
Yeah.
to August in San Francisco,
Yeah.
so I don't just like walk the streets and go, I feel like death.
Yeah. I work outside a lot, but you just work around the heat. I don't know. I like having that heat as an option
Yeah.
as opposed to being so cold all the time. But a lot of people love it. That's
Wait,
why they're still there. Yeah.
but what about compared to New York? Why, I mean, do you think there was a colder feeling in San Francisco because New York you expect it or?
Yeah, well, New York summers are ugh, terrible. They're so hot, just nasty. And the humidity. Yeah. Ooh. I kept moving to warmer climates, Chicago, New York, San Francisco,
Oh,
LA.
that's right. Because Chicago's
Oh, that was.
hard. That was a hard. That's a harder climate than New
Oh,
York.
it's terrible. It's really
Yeah.
bad. Yeah. There was like one good week in spring. No, really. It's
Yeah.
just awful because the summers are really bad. Like they're so hot.
Yeah.
And even though I live right near the lake, it was just, unless you were right at the lake, it was just so hot. So, yeah. And then winters were just, I mean, they broke the record when I lived there, I think more than once. And it was just like, you can't, you don't go outside, it's dangerous. I'm like, that's
Yeah.
absurd. That's crazy. Yeah.
Don't go
But
outside because the liquid in your lungs will freeze.
basically. Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah.
Because whatever you ate for dinner will freeze, and if you
Right.
die,
And you had to be
like.
like covered every inch of your body, or like you'd be exposure like within like minutes,
Yeah. So you say, but oh, you know what I like about Instagram? How do you like that segue back from I'm good at remembering things when we're in the show on the hour. But the thing I like about Instagram is I only follow the people I care about. And so
Oh
it's so and
yeah.
that's what keeps me connected to my friends in San Francisco or those who
Sure,
have moved
sure.
to like other countries or whatever. And it's and then even they're connected to me where I'll go back to San Francisco and they'll be like, oh, hey, Tony, and they just start a conversation with something that they saw on Instagram 6 months ago. And but we come back to each other like it was yesterday when I lived up there 12 years ago as well. But it's kind of a way to kind of just keep tabs on each other.
It's a good way to keep in touch. It's a good way to keep in touch with people that I'm sort of friends with, but not like the closest friends, right?
Yeah.
And I got back in touch with people that I'd lost contact with,
Yeah.
like people that I, just didn't really have an access way to access, and they found me, and it's like, oh my goodness,
Yeah.
so that's great. And I met new people too. I've met all kinds of people.
Yeah.
So, that part of it's fine.
Yes.
I'm not very fond of AI or algorithms, but otherwise,
It's it just keeps getting worse and worse, and I just keep going to the library and getting books and just reading as much as I can to be off
That's
of
good.
all of it. It's
Yeah. I try, I look at it. I post all the time, but I look at it less than I used to because you get stuck in that whole thing. So I post because I want to keep it out there because I'm still
yeah.
posting all the old stuff. But it's a, whatever. I kind of try not to get too caught up in it. And we're sort of book hoarders here, so there's always a book to read. That's not a problem.
That's and that is the thing. I always want to know that I can do anything offline because everyone has to have a battery charged. And it's just like, you know what? That shouldn't be your worry. If you got a book, if you got two books in your backpack and a pen and paper, you're good. If the power goes out, I got candles ready to go.
Same, yeah.
And I have my battery-powered radio that I just sit there and I turn on the
Oh, that's
classical
good.
station and I got the
Oh, there you
candles
go.
and I'm like, maybe the power should go out every day because that's a very meditative thing to do.
I know.
Or I could just have discipline.
Yeah. No. I used to read a lot more because it's the concentrate, just by doing everything gets faster and faster and more and more and
Yeah.
more. So the concentration levels keep going down.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have to either read easier books, shorter
Yeah.
books, or
Yeah.
just I take breaks in between. I mean, I just can't read nearly as much as I used to, although I still do read quite a lot, but still it's, or at least compared to what they say most people in this country read, which is like
Right.
nothing. So,
Yeah.
but whatever.
If you read one word in a book, then you've escalated beyond the literary median of this.
But I am much faster at bringing new books into the house, and I'm not like buying, it's like thrift stores, or I just find them,
Yeah.
or like
Yeah.
used bookstores, we trade all books in, we're done, and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
But like the piles come in faster than they
Yeah.
go out, so there's the stacks are kind of teetering a little bit.
I love Counterpoint books because I in Franklin Village, I don't know if you've been there because it's like I just bring in
Oh,
some
is that on Hollywood or
on
Frank? No, it's on
Franklin.
Franklin.
It's on
Okay,
Franklin, yeah.
near the theater there. Is that the one that's near the UCB or no?
Yes, it's
Okay,
like two doors down from UCB,
I know that
yeah.
one. Are you near there?
And there's always something in their stacks that I'm just like, oh wait, Balzac? I haven't thought about Balzac in a while. I'm getting this.
That's good.
Yeah, it's it's and all the thing about bookstores and record stores
Yeah,
that
same. Yeah, same.
they need to, what they need to do for me, which has always happened. It didn't happen like because I got older. It happened even when I was 16 years old, is when I walk in there, I gotta pee. And it's because I'm so relaxed. All of a sudden, my whole a record store or a bookstore, my whole my everything relaxes, and I'm like, oh! And now I know. And now I got it set up. I have a whole schedule. I'll walk like for Counterpoint. I know to go to Gelson's across the street, and then use the restroom before I
Then
walk
you're
into.
okay. Oh my God,
Yeah.
that's
And then it's just
funny.
like I still have that whole like release and flow blow. But
Oh,
there's nothing to release, so I could just walk the stacks.
that's funny. That's good.
How did you
Yeah.
connect with your fellow author, Grant Faulkner?
We waited tables together at Radio Valencia.
No way.
Yes, so we go back a ways. Yeah, so
Yeah.
and we've been talking about this. I put out a book on a small press, like a chap book back. I was in the middle of pandemic, so we didn't really it got we didn't we weren't able to promote it too much or anything because it
Yeah,
was like
what was the small
high print.
press?
Bamboo Dart Press.
Okay.
Do you know them? It's
No, I don't. I don't.
they're out in Pomona.
Okay.
They're my, an old friend of mine. He's in the band Refrigerator. Do you ever hear of the band Refrigerator on Shrimper Records? Anyway, oh, they're great. They're really great.
Yeah.
And
Well.
anyway, so all friends from music scene, but they him and another his friend it's Dennis and Mark, and they he had a different he had another press also, which I'm blanking on the name of it. Anyway, they put out chapbooks all the time. Like a
Oh,
lot of
cool.
so I
I'll
had
have
a
to check it out.
so I had a poetry one. Not poetry, a photo one. They do a lot of poetry, a lot of there's memoir, there's flash fiction, there's all kinds of stuff they do. And so we were gonna maybe do one. Then Grant thought we should do a book together, but instead of doing it as a chapbook, we wanted it to be more of a hard. I mean, all their books, they're great. They're like these small little paperbacks. But we wanted one that had like a little more substance, I guess, is you know, just hardcover and print, you know, the printed pictures. But it was so fun to do that first book. I just like I just I just came up with the pictures. I'm like, how about this one? This one. It was a mix. It's a mix of band photos and just random pictures and like little and I wrote little bits because I used to make these like little travel logs or little postcardy kind of thing, so it has that kind of a feel. Anyway, so after that he's Grant saw that book, I thought, oh, let's do something together. And then I don't know, we just kind of talked about it for a long time because we've been friends for a long time, and then
Well,
it came together. Yeah.
on your first one with the chapbook, is that still available for people
Yeah,
to
they're
get?
always available. That's the beauty of it. You can order
Oh.
it and they print them as they go, so it's great.
Oh,
Yeah.
sweet.
It's really great. It's a really nice DIY system they have that I really like. Yeah, and they put out some really good stuff. So, yeah. Well, most of it's pretty local. You know, different writers I got to meet, this and the other that they did. It's good. Yeah, they're really good. Check them out.
I don't know Pomona that well, but I know that there's like a really great, like for the kids, there's a really great backyard punk scene, like the Latino
Oh,
backyard punk scene happening where I'm going, I've never been there, but I've seen some like videos here and there and the kids are all right. And I'm just like, I'm going, oh, you're gonna be okay, guys. You got I someone's on an iPhone somewhere, but not everyone. And everyone's just jumping
No.
around and having a blast and dressed like punk rock, you know, with like their grandparents.
They might actually be Claremont. Pomona, maybe the address is Pomona, but they're Claremont. I mix them up all the time, but it's not, but that whole area, that whole thing. Anyway, and
It's, you know,
there's a bunch of people I know from there, like music people, writing people. It's like this whole scene out there. Yeah, it's pretty neat.
maybe I should go hang in Pomona more. Because I think transit also goes out there now too.
Oh, I
There's
think
a
they do.
line. Because I'm always looking for that. Because I don't want to drive to Pomona. I want to sit and have someone next to me screaming in their in
No,
their own tongue.
the trick is to go the opposite of the rush hour.
Yes.
That's the only option really.
Yeah.
Then it's feasible.
Exactly. Her name is Gail Butens Butensky. Why did tell me?
Butenski. Ski. Yes,
Butenski, I got it
Butenski. You
right.
got
All
it. You did it
right.
well.
Her name is Gail Butenski, and the book is called Something Out There in the Distance, co-written with Grant Faulkner. Gail, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Now my car is done, stripped bare of pretense, soaking his sheets while counting insects. He's a grid on the sun. He's the hate in the love. Every hole is a leak when Micah does speak. But Micah will win. There's a flame on his tongue. His words are burned meat to muscle and rend. Now Micah will cloak every raft in his moat. To speak is to choke, to leave is to come. When the other has come, then Micah is done, 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 is done. Lens, he is breaking his hands. sinks in his sack. When Michael is gone, some other will come. When the other has come, then Michael is done, 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 is done.